We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Real people,
real celebrities,
real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday morning, 6 to 10.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Special guest in the building.
Very highly requested.
Yeah.
Interview.
For a long time
now.
What's happening?
Mr. Damon Dash.
What's going on?
You brought some people with you, Dame. Introduce your peoples.
I got First Gov. He wants to be noticed.
I heard the dog in the, under there.
Yeah. And I got my OG Daniel to my left and to my right. I got Murder Mook.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the Murder Mook affiliation? I know he's in the movie, but is what y'all doing other
well,
things too?
The overall affiliation is the Harlem thing.
Mm-hmm.
Smoke Dizzle, who's not here, I don't know why. You know, he was hanging out at DD172. That's the gallery
mm-hmm.
I had in Tribeca a couple years back. And I knew him before he kind of hit it big or whatever, mm-hmm. know, got to this much success. And when we reconnected, he was always trying to bring Murder Mook around because, you know, he's from Harlem. And
right.
I'd be like, I'm really, because I don't like hanging out with dudes too much that I don't know, mm-hmm. you know. And I was like, I'm not really trying to know anybody named Murder with the first name Murder. You know what I'm saying? And but we ended up one night at that fish market with ASAP Rocky, and he was there, and he came through with the car. He got this car that has a lot of personality, and he showed me, we went back to ASAP Rocky's house and he showed me the movie. He's showing everybody, rather the television show on Fuse. And, you know, I'm about battle rap and that's where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
And something about him was kind of familiar to me, Paul. So he started to come around the gallery and making music and I started doing the movies. And there's a lot of things that he spoke about and him and his other friends, like Blackface, the way they spoke and the things they spoke about reminded me of my OG, mm-hmm. Daniel. You know, and I hadn't seen Daniel. I'm telling you how I met him already.
Right.
But now I'm going into how I met Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
So then they started to come around, make music, and we were doing Losadas, and there was something that they said that was very distinctive. So I started to talk about what I used to do with my old homeboys, and one of my OGs was Daniel. And I was like, y'all don't know Daniel?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, Blackface pulled him and was like, I think he's talking about Nico. His name D. He might be Daniel. And they showed me the picture,
mm-hmm.
and it was my OG.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was the person that, you know, kind of guided me. Like, a lot of people guided me when I was younger and in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people we have in common that became legends in the street, whether it's for wrong or right reasons. But in those moments, we didn't know that the things we were doing were legendary. Mm-hmm. And he kind of said and did things that taught me how to survive in those extreme environments. And then also I was able to apply it now. And like when things were questioned, like my honor, I would always go back to, would the guys that raised me be all right with what I'm doing?
You said you question your honor. What do you mean question your honor?
Like if, let's say, someone offered me a bag of money to do something that I traditionally wouldn't do, mm-hmm. but it'd be like, I need to do it for more money. I'd be like, a Harlem dude wouldn't do that. My homeboys would laugh at me. What would Daniel say? You know, that kind of stuff. Because mm-hmm. I know he was somewhere. You know, I hadn't seen him for 25 years. Yeah. But then he came around. It was the same Daniel. You know, he was still up, still had a point of view. Mm-hmm. And I was shooting a scene, and he was giving advice to the person shooting the scene. He was so animated. Mm-hmm. Yo, Governor, stop that, man.
That's his dog he's talking to, by the way.
Yeah, she's crying. Mm-hmm. Like, what's wrong with you? He wants to be with his mother? Then go over there. Go be with Raquel. Mm-hmm. He's bugging. So I put him in the movie. I was like, do the movie. And he was so good at it. Like, literally, when he did his scenes, people quit on the set. Because they were so scared, because he's so authentic. And we were able to pull from our actual experiences of the people around us and the aggression of the people around us.
Right.
But still have, because we had the intelligence not to do what everyone was doing. Like, you got a choice in the street. You can mm-hmm. survive. But usually there's a paper bag of money that makes you do something that's against that honor code. And that's the thing that gets you jammed up.
Compromise yourself.
Yeah. And yeah. the things he taught me was, don't ever compromise. You know? And it's not just him. He walks around with an OG.
Right.
And that's what Harlem dudes do.
Now, let me ask you, you talk about Harlem a lot. You know,
I'm from Harlem.
When you're just talking or mm-hmm. from a long time. How did you meet up with Jay-Z, who was from Brooklyn? Because, like, you guys, you Clark Harlem Kent, guys Clark Kent, are, Clark Kent. Are tight.
You really still curious about the Jay-Z?
Absolutely.
You don't know the story?
Curious. Nah, we want you to tell the story.
Let me ask you a question.
No, this is not, you're not asking questions, Jay. We're asking you. People want to know that.
Can I ask you a question? Have you never asked this question from me before? About Jay-Z?
I have, but I was on a smaller scale. It wasn't as big as the Breakfast Club.
So wait, let me ask you a question. Do you think everybody knows that question?
No, I don't think everybody knows that answer.
Do you know the answer?
Yeah.
What's the answer?
No, you tell us the answer. Tell us the answer how you met. No, it's different because we're on a different scale.
Is this a Harlem Queens thing? Like Harlem Queens don't get along?
Let me ask you a question. Okay, let's be men, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody asks you the same questions 25 times,
yeah.
maybe 2,500 times, do you still want to talk about the same thing? Yes or no?
No.
So that's just me being human.
No, I understand.
So that. I don't care what platform we're on. I'm sick of talking about it. Let's talk about something else.
It's a different platform.
I know, but I want to talk about something else.
Yeah, but we're going to ask you that question. If you don't want to answer.
I just told you. Next question.
Okay. That's cool.
No more Jay-Z questions. I answered them all.
Well, I want to talk about you say your OGs. You talk about your counsel. Like, I always wondered who was your counsel. Like, when you would scream on other executives back in the day,
mm-hmm.
like, were those the guys you would go to and say, yo, was I wrong for that?
I would never. For screaming on other executives?
No.
They weren't in my life at the time. But I had my crew and I had the people. See, the reason why I would scream is because it would be for me not putting my hands on them. See, the way I was taught, when you putting up money and someone doesn't do what you say or they owe you money, if you don't put your hands on them, then you can't be outside anymore. So you have to make examples out of people. So the yelling and the snapping and laughing at people was I was taught to hurt people. But instead, I was also taught a smarter way to get at people. And that's one of the things that Daniel taught me. So, like, it would be the people that I'd be around, and they would be straight, real tough.
Gotcha.
But I could just snap on them. We would snap all day. And instead of me having to kill these with guns, I killed them with jokes. And Daniel's a funny dude. You know, but when it came down to it, my knuckle game's proper. You know in my eyes, I'm not f***ing around. You know I'm going to go out all out for what I believe in. But I'd rather laugh at you than shoot you. I'd rather make a movie of, I'd rather talk to you disrespectfully than have to punch you in your mouth for disrespecting me. That's what I was taught.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was able to maneuver. So instead of going to get my gun, I was able to use my logic. And it's like math. Everything is simple math. You ask me a question 25 times just because you want to everyone else to know. I don't care. I'm sick of answering that question.
Mm-hmm.
Period. So I don't want to talk about another man all day. I want to talk about other things. You know what I mean? Period. It's no, not men don't want to talk about other men. It bugs me out. Why are men so curious about other men? That makes no sense. I'm never worried about other men that much.
Let me ask
you as a woman.
Hmm.
Why are men so worried about other men and how much money they got and all this other man stuff? Why?
Well, I think part of it is social media. You know what happens.
What's that got to do with it?
No, we put up a picture like,
so you make
money
from
Damon Dasher's hair and a bunch of people would be like, ask him this, ask him this. And
it's a money thing.
It is true that people ask the same questions because some people might not have heard the answer. Be one person.
Everybody heard this answer.
Well, no, I will say this.
Everybody knows my history with Jay.
Listen, let me just say something. Y'all saw my other interview. Mm-hmm. I already told you the reasons why I don't want to talk about that, man. You got one of them hats on right now. I told you why. Because look at the guys right here. Right. I told you why. Get off of that man. Paul, you asked that man. Y'all never asked that man no questions about
him. Oh, no, we did. We definitely did.
What did he answer?
He did. He seemed like y'all had
no I just don't want to talk about those days. That was 15 years ago. Now, is that still how y'all make money?
No, I agree with
that. The reason why, listen, if y'all still making money off of old substance, then how are you going to grow?
No, I agree with that. But
we're still talking about Jay. I haven't even seen Jay but two times in 15 years.
But this is my thing, though, that you did add something new to the conversation when you said you brought up the stuff about Desiree.
I didn't bring up nothing. I ain't say a name. I said, look, you still bringing it up. You got the hat on. I told you why I don't want to talk about it. So I don't want to talk about it no more. You understand? See, y'all don't understand what's out there. People go to jail. People get killed for this kind of stuff. I don't play these ghetto games.
But you want to
I don't do this bubblegum. I told you. Once a has certain friends, we don't even talk about them no more where I'm from. So you think I'm going to get on the camera and keep talking about this thing? I don't know what's going on over there. You got the hat on. You ask them. You calling out names. You call them. Don't
okay,
use me
so
to
talk about it, so you want to
yeah,
talk about
move
other
on.
Things.
Okay.
Now, you did talk about, you know, I would say you were the bad guy at one time. But that was your job. Now, the reason I'm asking...
Nah, I wasn't the bad guy. No, I was the good guy. I was the bad guy to the bad people.
Right.
Mm. I'm the good guy to the good guys. Trust me. I'm always going to be a bad guy to somebody.
Listen,
let me ask you a question. If I beat the shit out of you, mm-hmm. and you a f***ed up dude, you did something bad, but in your mind, I f***ed you up, am I a bad guy?
If I did something bad, no, not at all.
To that person that got his ass whipped, I am a bad guy.
To the person that got his ass whipped, but to
that's what I'm saying. Public, so hold on. Bad, so I'm walking. No, guy. But look, I'm walking around whipping ass. Mm-hmm. Somebody gonna say I'm a bad guy.
Right. Absolutely.
Pause. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I didn't say whose ass. Slut mentality. That slut mentality.
You know you ain't beating women, Dame.
You know. All right. But anyway, so I'm saying I'm gonna be a bad guy. It's all good guy. Like Batman, they said he was a bad guy, but he's a superhero. Everything that fights, they said Jesus was a bad guy. Mm-hmm. Right or wrong?
Yeah.
Like, what do you get, right? This is a joke I'll be saying, but I made it up, right? Yeah. What do you get when you have a dinner with a bunch of people that you're guiding and taking care of?
What?
Hung up on a cross. Because that's what they did to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So you've seen men violate God. Mm. So all men gonna violate everybody. Here's a question I have. How come there was no women at the Last Supper? I'm asking.
I don't know. Why?
You never thought about that?
No, I never did.
See, that's the questions I'd be wondering.
Maybe they was in the kitchen cooking.
Nah, because I don't know what was going on. Bottom line is, see, that's why he got violated. Mm. You ain't got no women around watching your back. You're getting violated. Mm. Period. The Bible is 3,000 pages about stories about men violating God. So that's just me saying men are always going to violate other men. Paul, mm. So I try to keep my circle tight and keep more women around me. I don't like dudes that much. They be worried about the wrong shit.
There's also a lot of stories in the Bible where girls got men caught
picture.
Up, though.
No matter. I'm talking about the Last Supper. If I'm Jesus and I'm giving jewels and all that, I'm going to have some girls around. I'm telling you. And there ain't going to be some
You
dudes.
Feel like women are more trustworthy than men?
100. Because women have estrogen instead of testosterone.
That.
See, estrogen, testosterone, men should always want to be number one. A man should always want to be, he has nuts. His job is to go make women pregnant and to go take care of his woman, to go eat, to be the champion. So you're supposed to be number one. Like me, us three sitting here, no matter what, he knows he could have this slot. He knows he could have it. Pause. In Harlem, we always think we supposed to think that because that's what real men think, you know, and that's what testosterone breeds. That's why you can't hire a bunch of men. They're going to resent you. You know what you get when you give a bunch of men stuff? They resent you for that. They want to kill you because they want to be the boss. If a man doesn't want to be the boss, then he's not a real man. Every real man wants to be a boss. Who do the girls like? The boss. So everyone that has girlfriends, they're going to keep their girls away from the boss because he's the most appealing, right?
Is that one of the reasons you've had a lot of problems with
artists?
I
don't know why. I've always been the boss. I don't know. Those are not problems for me when men don't want to be around. That's better for me. I run into their women other places. It's all right. You know, like when a woman talks bad, when a man talks bad about another dude in front of a woman, that's because he's afraid that the woman likes the other dude. Mm. So the more men or women or men talk about me to their women, the more the women come to me. I love it. So to me, that's the good guy. It's all about perspective. I'm the good guy. Have I ever been the bad guy in Harlem?
No.
That's what I'm saying. I've never been the bad guy. I'm always, you know, like, if you at war, you're the bad guy to the people you're fighting. So whoever looks at me as a bad guy, they're on the wrong end. They're on the wrong team. If you're not honorable, if you don't play things fair, yeah, you better watch the fuck out. Because I'm protecting love. You see what I do when I got the rock. Pause. I give it the platform to my friends, and I always have. While I haven't been around, A lot of people got fat, but all my friends are starving, or the people that I left out there. Everyone's starving. A couple of people are fat. We're taking it back so everybody could eat. Movies, radio, books, everything. Fashion, everything. And when we have it, no one's going to have a boss. Everyone's going to be a boss. Period.
Are there times in business you feel like you haven't been honorable and fair?
Never.
That you can, I mean, people never, do make mistakes because we're
never,
human.
I've never not been honorable in business. Y'all keep telling me, every time I hear me not being honorable in business is from a radio show where men talk about men. It's never been from that man telling me in my face
it's
he has an issue with me.
It's not a claim of an artist that
it's not a claim. It's never been no social media. How can a man say social media with a straight face?
It's what
men
they
don't
do
listen to social media.
That's what they, that's
no,
what they
men
start.
Don't listen to
that's
social media. A real man doesn't listen to a rumor.
And Twitter. That's why
let me ask
you
a question.
What about
real calm? Real calm. Real calm. Real calm. Does a real man listen to what another man says about another man? Yes or no?
I mean, you listen. It's up to you to take it in.
Right then. So you have no question. Questions to ask me. Right. I don't give a f-
But this is the radio business.
I don't give a f- about the radio business.
Fans, you're an artist.
I don't give a f- about
wrong,
nothing.
Y'all want to box or something?
He doesn't
want
to do that.
What's going on?
That's not what he wants to do. But what I'm saying is this.
Usually it's over money that people have.
No, it don't be over no money. Because if it was over money, how much money? What's money to you? It's all relative.
Yeah, I mean, it's all relative, but
is $100,000 money?
It's money.
Not to me.
But you can't do...
Not to me.
It is money, though.
It's not to me. It's relative. I can't do shit with $100,000. My bills are way more than $100,000.
I forget all that money talk. That's
I'm asking you a question. No, I'm trying to prove a point here so you can have a clarity of what y'all should be worried about.
So you're saying it's all relative based on who you are, what money is. Because $100,000
is not what I asked you. I asked you, is $100,000 not to me? It's relative. So let me ask you a question. Would you disrespect me for $100? $100,000?
Nah.
It's not worth disrespecting. It's not worth going to take your friend to court. It's not worth going to a radio station and talking about business. What's worth that kind of, what's worth a real man talking about his business on the radio between another man? What's worth that? Let me ask you from your opinion.
For money?
The radio.
For
how
money?
Much money?
None. I don't need the money.
Exactly.
Money is not relevant.
Exactly.
To me.
So when a man comes on the radio and talks about money and they don't talk about me, I know that's not the issue. Because if it was really about money, he would have called me. He wouldn't have called you. He know I'm not listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
How am I listening to you ask me questions about another man's money? A real man don't answer those questions. A real man don't ask them.
Well, let's talk about you. Do you feel like you get your props as a mogul, man?
I don't care. I take my props.
Word.
You don't fuck about props. I care. I do get my props. I'm not a mogul. I'm a tycoon. I sell oil. Don't disrespect me and say I do everything everybody else does. And I put up my own money. All these so-called moguls y'all talking about, you name one of them that put their own dough up. A boss, you're only the boss if you put up your own money. If you don't put up your own money, I don't care how much somebody gives you, you're nothing but a supervisor. It's not yours. So how much money can you get paid to not... there's no money in this world for someone to pay me so they could call me... so I could call them a boss. That's like calling somebody daddy. How can a man call another man, yo, that's my boss? We don't do that.
I mean, everybody at some point has to have
don't.
A boss, right?
No, not in Harlem. Oh, okay. Put it like this.
Because you're somebody's boss.
No, I'm not somebody's boss. When I was in the street, someone wasn't your boss. They gave you an opportunity.
Okay.
They gave you some work. You go make it. And then you bring it back. You can go buy your own work. You do whatever you want. It's called consignment.
So why this can't be all work? This corporate America, we could be using
you don't
this.
Own it. I'm telling you why.
Question.
Let me ask you a question.
I'm listening.
Can you give it to your son?
Can I give what to my son?
Whatever
shares of this
for,
company, yeah. I absolutely positively can.
How?
Why? Because I own shares of this company.
You bought them?
Yes.
What I'm saying is... can your son eat? Is this yours to give the whole company to you?
This full company is not my son's. No,
exactly,
it's not mine. But
wait, stop! Listen. That's not my question. If your son needs a job here, can you give it to him? No.
No.
If your son needs to get some money out the bank from here, some cash flow, can he get it?
No.
All right. You don't own this.
But I can take the money from here to invest in myself.
No, it's not yours. I'm not gonna fight for something I don't own. Men don't do that. I don't fight for other niggas. I fight for me. I'm not a doula. I'm not going to build somebody else's company and then pick shares so my son can go all that.
See, but I'm not
no, listen.
Company,
listen,
though.
What I'm saying.
But what about taking
I'm
the money?
You
like
come to work
way,
every
you took
day.
The money from Def Jam.
I didn't take it. Stop. Don't say you're speaking my business and you don't know what you're talking about. I ain't take no money from Def Jam. What you talking about?
What I mean
about?
Take, I mean they cut you a
no,
check.
No, they didn't cut me a check. We had a formula based on performance. And they calculated and we got paid.
That's
and they
us.
Go, stop. That's not us.
That's what we
no, doing. No. We, listen. Before we had Rockefeller. We put up our own money for Rockefeller. Right?
Okay.
Then we sold half of it. We became partners. So that means no one gave us anything. We were 50-50 partners. We built something and sold it. That doesn't mean you work for somebody. See, they let you believe that. So then what happened was, based on a formula, you want to know what a formula is? It was profit times a certain number. So if you make this much profit times seven, that's how much your number is.
Okay.
Based on that formula, they bought the rest. That's it. That's not nobody giving me money. I never worked for them. I put up way more money than Def Jam put up. Me, Biggs, and Jay put way more money up into Def Jam. I mean, rather into Rockefeller than Def Jam. All they did was collect our money. What you mean? Why you think Def Jam, first of all, when we were with Def Jam, they were bought by Universal. How you going to call Def, how you going to think someone that's bought by someone could be someone's boss? That's my point. You have to understand what you're doing in business, because you got to do what's best for your kids. What's best for your kids is to put your money into something, distress, go through all of it, so when your child becomes a man, he doesn't have to work for nobody.
Right, well, that's the
whole
thing.
You can just pass it to him.
Now, you talk about...
So if you're going to work 20 years in a business or 15 years in a business every day over and over again, and your son can't work here whenever he feel like it, you clowning
to
me.
I don't want him to work
but that's
here. That's
me. I'm not saying you, if you owned it, wait a second.
I'm here because
time
I
out.
I don't need a check.
That's
here.
Stupid. You
just
should
like
be
murder movie
time
rap because
nope,
he enjoy it, not
nope,
because he want
nope,
a check.
You're wrong.
I'm here because
I like the
enjoy
check.
It.
Wait, time out, time
I'm
out.
Here because
time
I
out, time out. You're lying.
I'm not saying
I don't need a check. Before you lose your control, just stay focused. So here, listen to me.
I work here because I enjoy it.
Why don't you listen?
I work here for free.
Who could work? Would you ever enjoy being a slave?
I'm not. It's not a slave. This is what I enjoy.
I don't think
I
it's a slavery
DJing.
Day.
Do you have
I
to come to work today? Do you
I
have a choice?
It.
Do you have to ask somebody
to
when you
anything.
Have to? Yes, you do.
I don't.
Or
I
you're fired.
Don't.
Can somebody tell you
I
you fired?
Honestly, don't.
Can somebody tell
I
you fired? Yes or no?
And be good.
Can another man say you're fired?
Absolutely.
No one can tell me that. And that's priceless to
but
me.
But I'm here because
I don't
enjoy
care. You enjoy having a man be able to tell you fired.
But you
enjoy. Okay, let me ask you a question. So you being selfish? Do you think your son enjoys you calling somebody else a boss? Don't you think your son would rather wake up with you and you could pick him up from school instead of having to do a 9-to-5?
I pick my
don't
son
you
up
think?
Every day.
Yeah, all right, but don't you have to wake up at 4 a.m? Don't you think your son would love if his name was up there, Dash, or whatever your last name is, instead of somebody else's?
It's
my
Casey,
pride
Casey,
is in my children.
But
like, look what I'm doing right
bad.
Now. Look at my son. I taught my son never to have a boss. He's 23. He owns a restaurant. He has cookies. He has equity. He busts his ass so he can pass it on to his son. If that's not what you hustling for, you're selfish. Well, you keep saying I'm worried about my kids. You worried about you.
My kids are good.
How they
my
good?
Kids
your
are
kids
good.
Will, aren't going to be
enough
kids.
Investors
I feel like I'm in
the
Def Jam boardroom and backstage.
They kids, they're not supposed to work. I'm saying when they men, you're supposed to pass
they're
them something.
They're not worried about a
you working for another
they're
man.
They're worried about
see, to me, this is retarded. See,
we have the questions. I feel like I'm in Def Jam boardroom. This is not backstage. Everybody cool out for a second. But Dave, I will ask the same question. You're a businessman.
Absolutely.
What's wrong with taking the money from here and investing it into other stuff that we own?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Thank you.
Everybody eat a cookie. Listen, cool out for a second.
I'm not mad. The mentality is this. It's frustrating. Because you're on the radio and this message is crazy to me. You're saying because you enjoy music or being a DJ, you enjoy having a boss. If you enjoy being a DJ, just why don't you own your own radio station and then DJ for your own radio station so your son can just get on anytime he wants. That's all I'm saying.
But it's steps
you
to
enjoy,
it, though.
No, there's no steps to it because I do it. See, you enjoy the safety and the security of a job every day. But there's no pride in that to me. My son takes pride. My kids take pride in the fact that I have Dash Motors. And because I have that, my son said, I'm not going to ever have a boss. His mentality is different. It's just about changing mentality.
Now, let me ask you a question. There's millions of people out there that don't have that opportunity and
they all have,
the
opportunity.
A boss every day. So you're basically saying because they have a boss, there's no pride in it?
I think because people on the radio tell people it's okay to have a boss. They don't understand that they can have more. And because of the direct-to-consumer relationship, the internet, there's no excuse. So when I make a movie like Losada's, I don't have to ask if I could put Daniel in a movie. I just do it. I had to ask if
can
I could put... Wait, wait, hold on. I had to ask if I could put Cameron
in Paid in Full.
I don't have to ask no more. Mm-hmm. You understand? There's pride in that. There's just a pride you should have in ownership. There
so how do you get to
a,
that platform? How do you get to the platform?
By putting your own money up and investing in yourself. That's it. You flip. And getting a good woman and stop trusting dudes and stop worrying about other people's pockets and what other people have and what other people can do for you. And 9-to-5s aren't good because you're hustling for a weekend. But when you do something that's for yourself and your family, it never feels like work. I hustle for my last name. I don't hustle for my first. The Dash name, when listen, my again, When my grandfather died, he looked at me and he knew that Dash is always going to be there, at least for the next couple of generations, either through me, my son, or my son's son. It's a mentality. I want to have generations of this. What if your kids aren't as strong as you? Mm-hmm. What if your kids' kids aren't as strong as you? Then what?
And that's the reason why we set up the platform, so they don't have to do anything.
You have a boss.
But you know what else is interesting, Dan?
You have a boss. How can a man say he has a boss and be proud?
Well, listen to what Murder Mook has to say. Hold on, He's been wanting to say something.
Different mentality.
A lot of things.
I want to say something real quick.
Let him talk.
But Dash, like, you know, you say you should never worry about a man's pockets, but I vividly remember you clowning people for being broke.
No. I never clown someone for being broke. I'm clowning them for not spending money.
You clown people for not having
money. I know. You never heard me say, you know, I was talking about, when did you, tell me a joke you heard where I said you broke.
I've been in the office before.
Tell me,
you made fun of people's sneakers,
right? Sneakers.
And their clothes and say,
yo,
broke.
You know how many rich people buy wax sneakers? I just cut Kevin Hart up because he wore Uggs. He's a millionaire. That's what I'm telling you. It's not about money. You can't buy taste.
No, you can't.
All right, so I snap on people for having bad taste. It's not about money. See, your approach is different. Your perspective, you see things through a different lens because you got a boss.
What was the pop your tags thing? I remember you used to always
say. I used to pop tags. Because you know what happened was every time I went to the gym, you know, I had brought new clothes with me. I changed in the gym. So every time I finished, it would be a pile of tags. So I'd be like, look, yo, I'm popping tags. That's all. What's the problem? Why are you offended?
I'm not offended.
I don't know.
Why waste
the
snapping?
No,
there's no harm. It's about we have a different taste level.
We have different opinions.
I don't.
It's not a matter about having a boss.
Yes, it is. In my matter, it is. It doesn't matter to you. In me, it does.
Because I have enough investments.
I don't. Investments. You don't own nothing.
Investments.
You sound smart to somebody dumb. You know what I'm saying is you got a boss.
You sound smart.
You have a boss.
What are y'all arguing about?
Do me a favor, though. In the mix of this conversation, don't tell me I sound stupid because now you're disrespecting me.
No, you're telling me I sound stupid.
Okay. Did I say it was stupid? If I did, I'm sorry. But did I say you sound stupid?
Yes.
Sorry about that.
All right. But what were you saying, Moop?
All I wanted to say was that because I heard somebody mention social media or something like that, but since the emergence, I think, of like a lot of the direct-to-consumer platforms, like the Instagrams and the Twitter, we started to see a lot of entrepreneurial people out there and a lot of businesses being, you know what I mean, started from the ground level. We're seeing more and more people, you know, making money off Instagram, off of that thing.
So you don't have to sell like gossip anymore. You can do different things.
Could you have gotten to that the point that
how
Rockefeller
do you feel,
got
Let me
at?
Ask you a question. How do you feel about the fact God that you sell gossip for them? Like you sell gossip. You're a man. How do men sell gossip? That's for women.
Maybe don't talk gossip, though.
Y'all talk about
report.
What other people say. Every day y'all talking about what you heard. That's gossip.
That's
women
show,
do that, man. That's what women do. I don't listen to your show.
Well,
I don't want
to
hear about gossip. I be asleep. I'm a boss. I can wake up when
about.
I want. I don't be up that early.
I think there's a variety of things that we talk about on the show.
You talk about what you told to talk about. You got a boss.
No, we have to come up with our own stuff.
You get told what to do.
No, we don't.
No, we definitely don't.
Your boss tells you what to do. If I'm a boss, I tell whoever I want. Your boss, you lying.
No, you know what?
What's your boss name?
Which one?
We got. Oh my God. You proud to say which one?
Yeah, we're on 50 different markets. We have a different bunch of programs.
It's not your market.
Markets.
You don't own it.
Yeah, but
honestly, if they told us what to talk about, you wouldn't be here. Because there's people here
that would. I get ready.
Don't let them come.
No one never said that.
No, I'm serious.
Your boss said that?
Yeah, they say
who? Call them out.
They say you used to work
here. Call them out.
Nobody like to work with you.
Call them out. Who said it?
I'm not going to say his
name. So you gossiping. That's chatty. Don't tell me nothing unless you're going to call somebody out of us. That's girl to me.
But I'm just telling you.
Nah, I don't. Listen, men that to me, right? Because I have testosterone, I got nuts. I don't listen to other men's gossip. And a man that gossips to me don't have nuts. So that means he has a vagina.
It's not gossip, though, because I'm telling you what they said.
Tell me who said it.
That's irrelevant.
Nah, then you see where I'm from, you don't do that. If you want to deliver a message.
But the point is,
you're here. Nah, I don't want to hear that. It's you lying. You lying. Call out a name or you lying. Call out a name. Be a man and call out a name, or you gossiping, or you chatty patty.
Right, I'm gossiping. I'm chatty patty.
But no chatty patty questions for me, man. Ask me a real question.
Tell me
what somebody else said.
What's the movie, man?
The movie's Los Siders. Los Siders movie. You can get it at LosSidersMovie.com. Oh, I directed it. Daniel's in it. Smoke Diz is in it. Murder Mook's in it. It's very realistic. I'm very proud of what I've done.
Lots.
Here, let's take it off me for a second. There is one thing I want to bring up that disappointed me. So I do think we should all just stick together.
Mm-hmm.
Pause.
Even you and Envy?
Definitely. Whatever you need culturally. Man, you know, cool. A man is always entitled to have a difference of perspective.
Okay.
Me and Daniel argue, not argue, we talk on the phone about perspectives loudly, often.
Same.
I hate to talk to you on the phone then.
I'm talking to him though.
Yeah, okay.
Just Daniel. Yeah. I'm not just, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is a guy that deserves that kind of conversation because mm-hmm. he's shown it by his actions.
But whenever you could get positive advice, you got to take it. Exactly. You know what I mean? So it might be hard. You might not want to deal with the controversial conversation, but if it's beneficial and you can learn from it and it elevates you, why not? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I listen to everything. Yeah. I might not like it, but you know, listen.
Again, a man's allowed to have a perspective. That's why if I said you were stupid, that's why I said sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't have the right to disrespect you. And I didn't like the way it felt when you said you're being stupid. I was like, you're not telling
well,
me.
Well, I apologize to you.
And it's cool. Mm-hmm. But my point is, what I was saying is we need to.
You're not going
to
apologize to him? Just in case.
I said, yeah,
are you listening to your own show? Okay. What are you listening to?
It's
right
all
now?
Over
you
the place.
You don't even have
man.
Headphones on, man.
Neither do you.
Your hat too tight. Now, listen. My problem was this. We have to stick together. And I'm sick of us as a culture not sticking together. So mm-hmm. I'm going to call somebody out from my culture. I'm calling out Spike Lee. He's doing the same thing I'm doing, like the Vimeo. Mm-hmm. And I had my local high yellow, Gabron Gaddison. You know, he does all the technology. Mm-hmm. He went and reached out to him and talked to him and asked him, like, we should link up and just talk. And he was like, you know, Damon's arrogant. And he didn't want to offer no help. He didn't want to sit down with me. And I just didn't appreciate that. And I just want somebody to ask Spike Lee why he don't want to stick together. Pause. Like, why he don't think I deserve a conversation. And when have I ever been arrogant with him? And how can you not be successful if you're not confident in what you do? But why we don't stick together? Like, why is the first thing he would bring up is a fault of mine as opposed to, you know what I mean? Like, he's a great man. I would want him to say something good about me. So I'm only airing it out in public because I want it to be spoken about.
So because it is. Sometimes it's reasons to call out other men or talk about other men.
Well, it's a direct experience I'm having.
Okay.
And I called his name out. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to tell me somebody says something and not tell me who said it, you're chatty patty.
I'm just listening. I'm listening.
Well, you was chatty
and
patty.
Learning. Okay.
So you
okay.
had experiences with Spike Lee in the past? Where he had
no, I have no experience with him at all, but what's up at the Knick game? And he came by my gallery once, but I don't think he came by on purpose. And once he found out, he broke out. He didn't hang out or nothing. And I'd just be like, yo, it would look cooler if we came through together. You know, if he did something and he taught me and I could say Spike Lee, I would rather my honest experience with another black man be positive as opposed to it being like, damn, I reached out to just talk. Like, I thought maybe I could help him. He's still raising money. He's Kickstarter. I put up my own money. Mm-hmm. He has a boss. No disrespect. Mm-hmm. And to the millions that have him. But my point is, I just want somebody to call out Spike Lee and ask him why that day he said that and why he didn't want to have a conversation with another black man that reached out for help. I thought maybe he could give me some guidance and we could link up. It just hurt my feelings.
You don't think?
And also, I wanted to bring up. Here are the cookies, and I wanted to wait till we were on the radio to give them to you. But here's some cookies.
Thank you.
I got some. Nice. Thank you, sir.
You got some already.
Yes, sir.
Trust me. You want?
Where's the?
Do you know that the reason why you're wearing them angels on your neck?
The reason I'm wearing them for my kids represents my kids. But you mean the style?
Okay. Do you know who did that first?
You? Jesus?
No, me.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, ask Kanye. See, what happened was I get the angels made of my kids. I went to Jacob the Jeweler, and then I was wearing the angel. And then Kanye was like, yo, I want to get an angel. Then I gave him my angel, and he was like, yo, I'm going to give it back one day. He didn't, but whatever. He forgets that one. I saw it. But then everyone else, you know what I mean? So it's funny how sometimes you don't even know that got designed by me. Mm-hmm. I designed what's on your neck. What represents your kids is because I inspired that thought. Mm-hmm. I made them to represent my kids, and you're wearing two of those on your neck. And I can show you the original one made. Mm-hmm. And you can ask Kanye or Jacob the Jeweler or any one of them about that story.
It's good to see you and Kanye working together again, too, man.
Yeah.
Can you trust him, though? Because he's openly admitted he was disloyal.
My thing about trust is you can't trust anybody. So you don't put enough into anybody where their disloyalty can hurt you, so there's nothing he can do to hurt me. All he can do is be what he's been. He has a platform, and a lot of people listen to what he say. And as he's had that platform, he's brought me into the equation by saying my name in an honorable way. Mm-hmm. That's worth millions. And now, I appreciate
let me just say something here. Let me just put this in real quick.
This is Daniel, by the way. Mm-hmm. Daniel.
Just for the record, if you look at my man Dame, right? Because this is what I did the other day. I looked at Dame, and I looked at all the people. I don't even have to call no names. Mm-hmm. I looked at all the people that started from him, and then they moved on. You know what I mean? Don't that mean a lot? Like, for somebody to be able to bring people, like all the famous people that y'all talked about, the names that y'all talked about, and help get them to another level. where they're able to help feed their family and feed other families. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's what it's about. It ain't about each other tearing each other down no more. You got to look at the bigger picture. You know what I mean? And that's all he telling y'all. Like, when he's screaming at you, talking about you working for somebody, hopefully that'll make you say, you know what? Yo, Charlamagne, your pretty face, like,
hold on.
Maybe we should go ahead. Maybe
there was
we should
a comment go between that,
and start our own joint. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because that's what it's about. And you think everybody ain't going to follow y'all, B?
Let me ask you a question.
Like, people listen to
would
y'all.
Would you mind if I was your boss?
No.
So, can I hire you right now?
If you got the right money, yeah.
How much would it take for me to be your boss?
To do what? What do you need?
What do you
do
right now?
I do a bomb on this job.
What do you get paid?
I'm a radio
to do?
Personality.
What does your boss pay you to do?
Be a radio personality. Talk on air for four hours a day.
4 hours a day. How much does he pay for that?
How much you gonna pay me?
Yeah. You get that? You do it.
For you? Yeah.
Could you please stop throwing out numbers? I don't need to be trying to get people running up on me. I know you said you don't care, but do you think some people don't give you the credit you deserve for your business? Because it looks honestly, like by perception, the people you were with went up, the Jays and Kanye's, and they said you was down.
I can say this. In front of me, everyone gives me my props.
Word.
So all that I see is the respect in front of me. I don't hear about the disrespect that's not in front of me. See, like I said, people that talk about other people that aren't there are cowards, and they're insecure about the lack of things they've done. So I just can't worry about that. But when those same people get in front of me, I'm sure every day I'm outside. Every day people give me a handshake and give me my kudos. So I don't walk around getting denied.
Mm-hmm.
You may read it in the paper, but you got to think about the platforms that are saying the bad things. Those are the corporate platforms. They're trying to take all the attention off one thing, which is me showing everyone how to get money direct to consumer, how to not to have a middleman. Like, you guys don't need a boss because you've all been here so long.
I want to know, was Big Al really going to sign the Rockefeller, man? Absolutely. I want to know stuff like that.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, Big Al was going to sign.
Okay.
Yeah,
he was. We were talking about, he was always, you know, like I said, Big Al was a Harlem dude, and he was the first one in Harlem that was really doing it at that level before all of us. So it was like him, Cam, and Bloodshed, and... Children of the Corn. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think Mace about when Mace came around. Like, Mace came around a little later.
Mm-hmm.
But it was them. And, you know, yeah.
You think Big L would have been one of them ones?
No doubt. If he was coming with Rockefeller, no doubt. I mean, Big L was really, yeah. No doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. Like, you know, Jay-Z and Big L battled on 139th Street.
How did that go?
It was a good battle.
Who won?
Well, you know, I would have to say this.
They were battled again.
Let me just tell you what happened.
I like that
battle.
Yeah.
So this is what happened. I came around the block. I had Jay with me. And, you know, Sean Arnold, if you're from Harlem, everyone knows Sean Arnold's a funny dude. He plays ball. He come running up the block. What, Big L? Because we always talking. Big L's on 39th right now. What's good? And I was like, what's good? So Jay was right there, like, you ready? And I thought that was brave of Jay to be in the middle of Harlem and walk up into a wild block like 139th. This is, you know, back in the day. So, you know, everybody was outside, and 142nd Street is the block I'm from, but they were still with 139th, you mm-hmm. know, because everyone's related. So it was just me and Jay, really. And Jay, they went rap for rap, and Jay didn't get booed. You know what I mean? Like, people were saying it was a close tie. So to me, if you go on somebody else's block and it's a close tie, if you did that on his block.
On your own block.
So mm-hmm. that's how I gauged it. But in hindsight, you know, I couldn't be objective because I had so much. Like, at the time, everything that Jay was talking about was about what we were doing. You know, so it was so much passion, and what he was saying, it was so honest. But I knew Big L as well, you know. So it was, you know, you got to remember, in the moment, you don't know how legendary things are going to be.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Even, like, before the music, like, you wouldn't understand the people that raised me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even understand it now. But in the moment, all these people, I made movies about them. They made documentaries about them. These were all my friends. These are the ideals I came from. So, like, things that are scary to most people aren't scary to me. Because the stuff that people think is scary, I had to deal with. Like, we had to deal with some rough stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So you didn't have the vision back then? Because you said you didn't know y'all was going to be legendary.
Meaning that I had the vision of not being... I didn't know that everyone was going to be legendary around me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Malik Yoba grew up in my building. Mm-hmm. I didn't know he was going to be.
It's all in retrospect when you look back, like, wow, we all...
It's crazy to me. Mm-hmm. Trust me. But also, like, you know, when you bring up names from the street, like Rich Porter, you know, and things like that I made movies about. Mm-hmm. Like, I was there. Mm-hmm. I made a movie about a personal experience. And when you hear about Cruz from the Lynch Mob, like, I was there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, these are the guys. I knew these guys. Guys write records about these guys, and these are my friends. Mm-hmm. They starting to, the ones that did it honorably are starting to come home. You know, I was at the, when we did the screening at the club the other night, my man D, Darren, mm-hmm. was there. And he was like original lieutenant of the Lynch Mob. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because, you know, he's my man. When he was the lieutenant, this is me and him were friends. We used to switch cars, Jeeps, chains, mm-hmm. and he did his time. He was the guy that everybody thought was going to fold and mm-hmm. was going to cooperate, and he didn't. So he's telling me about how Leon's son is a rapper and that they, some other, who called him out for it? The other rapper?
Rex.
Rex called them out, and they didn't know that he was in the background. I'm like, you're the original lieutenant of the Lynch Mob, and you're at a f-ing rap battle. This is our conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about that, man. I want to hear your book. It's all public domain, man. I want to know about this.
Come to rap battles, man.
he's like, what I'm saying is, the conversation I want to have with him is one that's going to make him millions, mm-hmm. not one that's going to be more like a chatty conversation. That's not the conversation I want to have with the lieutenant of the Lynch Mob.
So if a man
I don't want to talk about a rap battle.
So if that man tells his story.
That's on public record that he did the time for, right? And there's redemption in it, and it shows that, you know, he got punished for what he did. Also, you have to remember,
if he's speaking about other men, that don't make him chatty.
He's talking about his own experience.
Okay.
See, you don't know what chatty is.
I'm trying to figure it out.
And I'm trying to tell you, so you don't know. Gotcha. But it's good. I like that you're asking questions. I like that you don't want to be a chatty patty.
No, I don't.
So you're unconsciously a chatty patty, and now that you know that you are one, you don't want to be one, and you're asking. I respect the question.
Okay.
So yeah, if I'm talking to you about my personal experience, no, how could I be a chatty patty? But if I'd be like, yo, such and such said such and such, but I'm not going to tell you who said it, that sounds like a chatty patty.
Got you.
Yeah.
Now, are you and Cameron still opening the restaurant?
Yeah, that didn't work out.
Oh, it didn't?
Mm. I don't have time. That's a. I was doing, you know, I do things, businesses for fun, and I'm doing four movies, paying it for myself. I moved to LA. I got the fashion. I got the Rachel Roy. But, you know, I got so many businesses. I just didn't have time to run that because I'd be losing money. Mm-hmm. And it was like a complicated situation. So I opened up a couple of days, and then I said it. It was like, this is going to be too much work, and I'm moving. It's in Brooklyn. But my son opened up a restaurant called Buns in the Meadowlands.
Buns,
pause. Yeah.
Now, if you're, I want Dave. If you're not in the streets anymore, do you still have to play by the street code in this business?
I mean, I think the ideals that you live by is an honor code. That code, yeah. Like, if somebody owes me some money, am I still punching them in his mouth? No, not that code. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have to worry about how other people were perceiving me. So you got to remember, in the street, violence is only an ends to a means. A means to an ends. It's the last form. And mm-hmm. the only reason why is for survival. So, again, in the street, if someone owes you money, then everyone's going to owe you money. If someone smacks you, everyone's going to smack you. It's the only reason why. It's marketing. Like, mm-hmm. Here's marketing for never owing me money. Mm-hmm. Or here's marketing for you never have to pay me. Or you could rob me. It's one of the two. And you don't have a choice. So that's why I chose not to be in that business. But my friends that play the game honorably, yeah, I still live by those ideals for sure. Like, let me tell you this. Like, if there's a civilian in the street and they witness a murder and then they tell what they saw, that's not snitching. Mm-hmm. I'll be around that person. But if someone sold drugs and they hung out with friends all day long, and once they get caught, mm-hmm. they tell on their friends mm-hmm. and take their friends that they really love, and they're supposed to be their brothers, mm-hmm. that they knew their kids, away from their kids, their wives, all that, just so they don't go to jail, I can't respect nothing about that. And that's what I've been taught. I'm going to always live by those ideals, you know, whether I'm in the street or not. Whether you snitch on me or snitch on somebody else, I'm not f***ing with you, period. And that's how I was taught. And whoever knows that has to respect that. You can't expect me to break these ideals. Like, can I bring a guy that's played the game right for 20 years around someone that didn't? Or someone that hangs out with someone that didn't?
No way.
You know? What happens? Honestly, though, if I came around our circle with someone that hangs out or any kind of way, anywhere near that, because you don't ever know who it is. Like, mm-hmm. it'd be times I'd be with people, and then after they'd be like, yo, he's hot. He cooperated. I'd be like, damn, I didn't know. Or it's been times I had to be like, yo, that dude snitched on me. Mm-hmm. Like, Blackface put this dude up that I had to, anyway. And I was like, yo, that kid went to court on me. You mm-hmm. know, I got to take that down. He didn't know. So sometimes you don't know. But if you're conscious of it,
right.
If I consciously bought certain, you know, someone that you knew was an informant or was around informants around any one of our circle, how would that be conducted?
I mean, you know, it's the way you raise. You know what I mean? It's your morals. And honor and morals is not something you learn. It's something that you taught mostly. You know what I mean? A lot of guys not taught to have honor. They don't know what it's like when you see a guy make an honorable act. You know what I mean? Like, you watch somebody, say somebody give their life for their family. That's honorable. It's hard to look at, but you say, damn, that's real. You know when you step in front of a bullet for your son or a car coming and you move your son and you get hit? It's like that type of feeling. But it's, you know what I mean? People don't really...
It's not easy to be honorable.
Yeah,
your honor really gets tested every day. Only a real man could be honorable. And real men that are honorable take pride in it. So I brought somebody from my past. You want to ask me about my perspective about me? I'm going to definitely tell you I'm a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really want to know about me, ask about what I did or how I was before all this. He could tell you because he knew me when I was 16, 17. You understand what I'm saying? I'm still with my friends. I know him 20 years and got cool with him just because he knew him 20 years. So we 20 years. It don't matter. That's how Harlem does. And when Cam come around and when Smoke come around and anyone else from Harlem comes around, it's expected. We all look out. That's all we do. My block's your block as long as you ain't messing with my paper. I'm going to give you an opportunity. If I got some room, you could go ahead and do what you got to do, but only for a certain circle. And this honor thing, people don't understand it, but it's like a curtain all over the world. And people, you'll know them. Like it's like, right? Like you'll bring a certain, and we all know the same people, mm-hmm. and we all related to the same people. And that's who taught me, and that's who I listened to.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I was on the set of Too Honorable.
What's Too Honorable?
It's a movie, another movie I shot.
Okay.
The next movie, which I'm getting busy. Mm-hmm. I shot three movies. And big shout out to Smokey Suarez, too, the comedian. I'm about to, I have a movie with him called Mixed Nuts Balls. You remember what happened with Tuffy? And I had I forgot what it was, but I was getting ready to get mad, and I had the OGs around, so I'm like, I didn't have to get mad. Mm-hmm. Tell him what you just told me. I think because he had done something, said some slick shit, and I was his boss. So I'm like, tell him what he just told me.
I thought you said you wasn't nobody's boss, though.
I was Tuffy's boss. I fired him. On the movie set, I'm a boss. I gotta get when I get into a cab, I'm the cab driver's boss. I'm paying him. Whoever's paying you is your boss at the time. For the amount of time he's paying you, that's your boss.
Okay.
If somebody paying me right then and there, that's why it's hard for me to do shows. Because that means somebody paying me. I'd be like, I can't. I got to be the promoter, too. I just can't have somebody be my boss.
So Leo Cohen was your boss?
Never in life was he my boss. Ever in life. He was never my boss, ever. He might have made someone like a Chatty Patty think that he was my boss. But he never put up a dollar in his life. He was never a boss of mine. He just represented someone else's money. And that's really what makes me mad, is when other people from other cultures represent other money, they act like bosses. But they make sure we know they're our boss. So like Joey IE or Joey Amanda, whatever his name is, mm-hmm. he's the head of black music. Why is a white man the head of black music? And what does that have a black man feel? And what did he do to deserve that? What did Todd Moskowitz do to deserve the right to have a business model with Asylum that takes money off of a culture that he doesn't participate in? How can a guy that can't dance tell someone else what records to sell and how unless it's for his own personal agenda? And then why would people from other cultures tell us what to do, but they can't get no money in their own culture? Did Leo Cohen break a rock and roll group that you know of? Mm. Why do more black people know about that white man than white people?
Because he was with Jay-Z and you.
No,
and
that's not why.
You know, rappers.
He wasn't with nobody. He thiefed Def Jam from Russell Simmons. That's what he did. And then when they sold Def Jam to Universal, they kept Leo to run the and they let, they had, what's his name?
Russell
had nothing to do with Def Jam. That's what he did. There's always some white man in charge of black people. And it's always a white man that's not even from, and when I say culture, people that are like-minded, like Leor and Tom Moskowitz, they don't even live the culture. They don't listen to rap. When Michael Jackson came on the stage, Leor did not want to go. He didn't care. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Well, to play devil's advocate, you got white people that work
for
you.
No, you're playing devil. How you know who worked for me? You're a chatty patty, man. Stop talking about shit you don't know. You don't know who works for me, man. How you telling me who worked for me?
So, no, it's got to be. I'm assuming.
All right. I don't answer chatty patties. Ask me a man question.
Do you have white people that work for you, Damien Dash?
At times. But
how you gonna get mad at me for asking a legit question?
What I said is, no, you told me I did.
I mean, I'm assuming.
No, you don't assume that. Because when I'm saying at times, like, when I'm on a movie set, and I'm paying Jonah Schwartz to be my DP and my cinematographer, mm-hmm. at that moment, he's working for me. But But when you want a salary where you told what to do every day and all that, but I'm saying I'm not mad for being the boss. I didn't say I don't hire people. I'm mad at y'all for having the same job for 25 years. That's what I'm mad at. Like, I can't see how people do the same shit every day and get told what to do every day and have to ask when to go on vacation. I just can't. It doesn't. Guys like us don't do that. See, in the street, you hit a dude with work and you see him when you see him at a certain period of time. It's not, however you get it, you get it. You got a structured schedule. You have to be told what to do. Could you do that?
What? Got a job? No, I never had one in my life.
You? And Daniel went to school.
That's me.
I'm not saying like, and I like, you know, and if
it's nothing wrong with a job though, but you want to get ownership.
No. This is America, the land of the free. You can be an entrepreneur. Jobs are for lazy people that don't want to invest in themselves.
But you got
to
start somewhere, Dave.
You've been here for 25 years.
No, I haven't. Only been there for four. What are you talking about?
But where else you been doing radio? You just 4 years?
No. I started in 98 as an intern. Right. And I'm constantly working my way up. What?
I don't understand. I'm on a different planet. See, you understand? It's frustrating because
you act like you never worked your way up to a position. You didn't just jump out of the tycoon.
I never had a job.
But you didn't jump out of the tycoon that got the oil and everything.
Yes, I did. I went and grabbed it. Yes, I flipped.
From the womb?
Yes, from the womb. I was Dame Dash the day I was born.
But you didn't have everything that you have now from the womb, Dame. That's all I'm saying. All
right, but the way I got it was not by a job. I got it by putting up my own money, and then the more it got, like one day I have a lot of money, and then the next day I don't. You know why? Because I put it all in the street. People don't put it in the street. They don't put their own money up. So you keep saying, yo, you just started. You did. No, dog, I've always flipped.
Yeah, but you know, some people make money.
Well, some people,
legit.
That's not me.
Some people make money illegit.
The way I flip is legit. Wait a second. Look what I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. So I make a movie, right? Los Sides. I put my own money up. I make the movie, and I bag it up in $10 bottles. Mm-hmm. And I sell it.
Right.
That's it. There's the magic. Now I have a movie company because I put up the money to make it. And because I'm taking it and putting it out myself as opposed to other people, where people can just buy it right now at losidasandmovies.com for $10, and I'm making money.
Mm-hmm.
So if I sell 25,000, I make $250,000. If I sell 100,000, how much do I make of $10, you know, if I do 100,000?
A million.
A lot.
A million.
I can see why.
He didn't go to college.
A lot.
But you're doing really well.
But you got far.
You're doing well.
But little Tyrone.
As far as Gump over here.
little Tyrone that just got out of school.
Can do that.
How's he going to get his money? He got to start somewhere.
It's PayPal, dog. See? Listen. Look, let's stop. Let me see.
Little Tyrone. Listen.
No. Stop. Little Tyrone. Stop. Little Tyrone. Why is that the scenario you make? Is the little Tyrone scenario?
Dude, little Tyrone.
Let's talk about you. What about you?
Me. When I got out of college, I was doing mixtapes. I was a little different.
Right. So let's start it now.
I own my own mixtapes.
Got you. You don't own your own mixtapes. You don't own the music.
Right.
See, you're in a fake existence, dog.
But go ahead.
You think you own something. No, you're not. You're
somewhere
as a different. Listen to me.
How do you get money?
You want me to answer?
No, I'm
really curious. I'm really curious. Listen.
I'm going to explain it to you. The difference between me and you is you have a job. You started with a job. You still have a job, right?
How do people start without
having
a job?
Can I talk?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
How about this? As men, let's do the man thing.
Okay, I'm going to listen. Go ahead.
I appreciate that.
Good.
So, you have a job. Did you have a job 10 years ago?
Yes.
You have a job now?
Yes.
Right. 10 years ago, I didn't have a job. I started by selling records, but I made the records, and I went through the process of doing it right. So, I had ownership in the records. So, I never had a job. 10 years later, I still don't have a job.
How did you pay for studio time if you didn't have the job? That's what I'm asking you.
Stop. You're the best life coach ever.
Can I stop?
I don't know.
How could you want the explanation and you're talking?
I'm asking.
You're talking.
You said ask. I'm asking.
But you're not listening.
I'm listening.
How could you listen and speak at the same time?
Go ahead.
See? Our perspective on things is different. So what I'm telling you is that was then. Right now, you don't need a studio to make a record. All you need is a computer, which everyone has, Pro Tools and a mic. I haven't made a record in a studio in 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know this. So stop acting like that. Also, you don't need any money for knowledge. The problem is y'all don't take the time to listen. Y'all talk too much about gossip and not about what's going to be. It's so easy. It's an internet. So there is no excusing not being able to sell something on Vimeo or PayPal, which is what people do. And have a audience and make money off it. You can flip. So when you make more money off, like, I'm not going to hold any money till I have a football team. I'm trying to flip all my money to get to a billion. So once I get to the football team, well, that was easy for you to say. Dog, I just use my own money. And when I don't have it, y'all on the radio talking about me, right? And when I do have it, y'all asking me about other shit that I did, you know, 20 years ago.
So you got it right now?
No, I don't. I got the movies on the street. I'm never going to have it because as soon as I get it, it goes on the street. I don't put up money. Saving money's for suckers to me. I have so much confidence in me that I flip. And 10 years later, and 15 years later, and 20 years later, I'm still a boss, and you still got a job.
Now,
wait, maybe you might want to break the cycle. Because what's going to happen now? Your kid going to grow up wanting to be like who?
His dad.
And what his dad got?
An honorable man.
What does his dad have?
What do you mean?
Money in the bank.
Stop. He's not talking to you. What does his dad have? A job.
Everything. Real estate.
You're not listening to me. Your father. Wait, everything. Listen to
I'm
me.
I'm listening.
Answer, you know.
I try to answer your question.
But you're not answering my question. You're saying what you want. You have a job, so your son's going to want a job. He's going to think because his daddy has a job, he should have a job. Case in point. I don't have a job. My son Boogie doesn't have a job.
Right.
That's all. I hustle for my kids. I don't want my kids to ever want to have a job.
But if my son wants a job, there's nothing wrong with my son wanting a job.
To me, it is.
Could you explain this to me too, Dave?
I don't want my son to call him. To me, call another man boss is call another man daddy.
Why?
It's not for men to be told what to do by other men. That's just where Harlem is raised. So, yeah, you could go be calling somebody else boss, a man or whatever, and hustle for something that you can't pass to your son, but use the little money you get from what they get. Because you got to look at the margin. If the radio company's making $1 billion, shouldn't you be making some of that? Like somewhere near that? It doesn't make mathematical sense. The people that are spending your money don't wake up this early. I guarantee you they don't go to work 4 hours a day and break their fucking back for pennies on a dollar.
Now, what do you think about people doing things for experience? Like, say,
Kanye
making the transition into fashion,
right,
and saying, I'm going to do an internship,
right, I think that's dope,
and get a job and work for somebody,
right,
because I don't know how to do this. Or
say
your son said, I'm going to have my own, you know, we're opening up our own restaurant, our own store where we sell these cookies, but I need to go work someplace first so I can learn all the ins and outs of how everything operates. You think that's a smart thing to do?
I think being an intern, for me, the best way to learn is to go put your own money up and do it yourself, to be honest. But, like, Kanye is a legend and something else. Mm. So in that respect, yeah, you could do that because you know your kids is all right because you are, like, there are things, like, when I do art, I don't collect it for immediate money. It's not going to pay my kids' bills now, but it might pay my grandkids' bills later. You know, there's certain things I do for, like, when I did, I think you have to practice what you want to be. I don't think rehearsing, having being told what to do is the best way to become a boss. I think the best way to become a boss is to take $20 and go buy something like 3 shirts and sell them for and make it into 40. And like I've taught my son Lucky, the reason why I have a gallery is so a storefront is so that my kid Lucky could sell something but not drugs. So in the summertime he sits in front of the gallery and sells hats and goes to the store and he learns how it feels to make money on its own and he knows that he could sell something and make a margin and then he takes the money that he makes. And he has to take me, Ava, and Raquel to eat for the day. So when he stays with me, I make him, he can't eat, we eat cereal, and we can't eat until he sells a certain amount of hats.
I agree with that. I think,
but
I can't.
But you can't do that in someone else's store.
No, I agree with that. Let me
finish. And now with my daughter, same thing. She got to, this is Ava. Mm-hmm. She got to sit there, but look what I get to see. I'm sitting out there with her, me and Rocky, and some little punk, you know, little dude come up, like, I don't know what Poppington is, but can I have your number? And I get to yell at the guy, and I would never let my dude, my daughter bring home a corny-ass dude like you with ashy ankle, like all that. Mm-hmm. And then I get those experiences with her, and I get to see how people taking her serious. Like, she gets to see all those things with me.
No, I agree
I
with
I have
you
a gallery in China, so what did I do? I brought Boogie, and I brought Ava to China. Mm-hmm. So she's 14 years old. She already been to China. Boogie already DJed in China. I brought Rocky, showed her art all over in China already. When you own stuff, you can do what you want with it. I got a club. How many parties we threw this week? Like 3, right?
3. Yeah.
I just came been home a week. Every day, screenings in the club just because I own it.
Where the club at? Harlem?
Lenora. Okay. Why I got to be Harlem? Because I'm black? Black man can't own a club
out
of
Harlem.
I just own a piece of it. A little piece. It's a nose club. Lenora's is nose club. I own a piece.
I agree with that. I think we should do that.
So mentality-wise, To stop the cycle. To stop the cycle for your kids. Yeah, you don't want your kid to think his hero should have a boss. Superman didn't have a boss. Batman didn't have a boss. So I want my kids to look at me like a superhero. How can a superhero be told what to do? Mm-hmm. Are you a superhero to your kid?
Absolutely.
Not when your boss is in the room.
No, I'm still there.
No, you're not.
You see, we're going to be on a different level. But see, because there's a difference I don't have to. You're I don't not. Do anything because half.
Man, if y'all don't, yeah,
no, it's the truth. But I agree with you.
It doesn't make logical sense.
Are you going to put the money up for Mook and Drake to battle? You going to put that together?
If Drake will step up, we'll organize it. I'm sure amongst my Harlem friends, we could get that up. Mm. Pause. The thing is, I think Drake made a fundamental mistake in battling. He challenged Mook. Mm. See, in the street, you can't challenge somebody and take back the challenge.
Right.
So now that, and this is from what I've heard, so it ain't no disrespect to Drake, but I think he said something on emotion, on a business level. His people told him, yo, you got too much to lose. So what I told Mook was, Drake's not going to battle you until you're richer than him. And that'll be next week.
Okay.
Did I not?
Yeah. You said
until Drake has something to lose, he's not going to. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't advise. It's like, dog, it's like going to a dice game where you got $1 million in your pocket and it's only $100 between everybody. You know, that's how they're looking at it. Like, you ain't got nothing to
win. He wants to do it, though.
He wants to do it, but I think he's being advised not to. But whenever he's ready, like, just how I like the way Floyd did it with Pacquiao. He let everybody talk, and then he actually made sure that it was done correctly by having a direct conversation, no chatty patty ones, with Pacquiao, and then it happened. And the timing is right. So when it's time for full, like, I almost would prefer them to battle when he has more to lose. Mm-hmm. Because because right now, if I'm Drake, see, the way I do when I challenge somebody, I think I put my eyeballs in their eyeballs, you know, in their skull. So if I'm Drake, I'm like, I'm not battering Murder Mook. Nobody really knows him but people that battle. And if he wins, now he's the underdog. You never fight the underdog because you have nothing. If he wins, he's Drake. If he loses, now he's the guy that beat Drake. But if Mook is bigger than Drake and they both are making money doing other things, that's a battle.
Right.
So I don't anticipate, you could talk about it all day, but as a strategic thing, if I was in his camp, I wouldn't advise Drake. I would say, yo, stop talking when you're drunk. But let's make money. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure someone older than him said that based on his actions. But when he's ready, as gentlemen, mm-hmm. I think we should have a battle, and I think it would be just as big as Pacquiao and Floyd. But you have to be Pacquiao before you fight Floyd.
And technically, Floyd was a little chatty patty because he brought up the fact that Pacquiao may be on steroids.
Pacquiao, just like you were saying, man, like, no boss. I'm Floyd in what I do. Period. It's like, no.
Tell him. Okay, stop. You have more money than Floyd.
It don't matter. This is what I do.
It's not an argument. It's a perspective. That's for people with love. What I'm saying is, Floyd, no one listened to Floyd till he was rich. Mm-hmm. Floyd wasn't Floyd till Floyd beat the other Spanish dude. What's his name? That Pacquiao beat. What's his name? Chavez, right? No.
De La Hoya.
Until Floyd beat, because I was the first person to sponsor Floyd. I always knew he was going to be great. Mm-hmm. So I used to put Rockwear on him a long time ago. And he used to come to my house and all these kind of things, and we would talk. But no one would pay attention to Floyd till Floyd had something to give them. So you're not Floyd until you got money like Floyd or the money a champ had. You're going to have money like Floyd. But Pacquiao, you're not Pacquiao. When I say until you're Pacquiao, Floyd wasn't listening to Pacquiao till Pacquiao beat all these people. Then he became Pacquiao. So you starting as a person that's from the street, you don't have as much money as someone that's successful yet, but they're not going to fight you till you have as much or more than they do. They're not going to fight you until they have something to gain. Mm. It's a one-sided situation in this fight right now. To him, he's saying he has an art of war. He's like all day he battles mentally. Mm-hmm. Like when we on the set, like I'll keep him, like I don't want to come because he always wants to figure it out. And we, you know, that's what we do. And right now for the sport, he's like, I need to show, you know, he challenged him. Mm-hmm. But Drake's not in it like that. You know, for the sport he wants to do it, but he's making a lot of money doing shows. If you kill him, he's not going to make no more money doing shows. You could fuck his career up like that. So he's not going to fuck his career up unless it's way worth more it, on the right. line. But you killing him, you killing him.
The point I was making, though, is that I understand, but that's like if he coming into what I do, right? So what I do,
you're the best.
The best in what I do.
Talk right. skill
so
sets.
So if he coming in, I don't care what kind of money he got. Where you come, but if
you don't, but what does he care? Be him for a second.
But he should have said nothing. Okay,
do me a favor. Pretend you him for a second. Stop being you.
If you in my field.
But what's he saying? Now be Drake. and I'm your manager.
I can't be Drake.
He think he nicer than him with the skill set.
So you can't even think how he thinking right now. He's not thinking like you. He's thinking like Drake. So you mad at him for thinking not thinking like you. Drake doesn't have a mustache. You do.
Because he did say something like he don't know if you deserve it yet or something like that.
Yeah, but then after that,
you're not thinking like Drake.
We was in Toronto when he said that. I was in Toronto.
Where?
You know what I'm saying? So when I wasn't at the actual press event because I went to the game and all that. But the next day at the joint, it was a battle at the joint, like, and I was there, he was there, and they came to me like, yo, listen, if we could get Drake to do one round right now, would you? Now this is with no press, no nothing.
Right. You have bars ready though.
And I'm just like, free? Yeah. That's the first thing I'm like, okay. Yo, free? I'm like, let me speak to him. You know what I'm saying? So I go speak to him, and he's like, yo.
That was the picture we saw?
No, the picture, that's the when it first started.
Okay, okay.
The picture is when it first started. This just happened like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And he like, yo, this is when the battle almost happened. He just like, yo, I'm like, you got rhymes, don't you?
And he had balls waiting for you.
Yeah, he did.
That was a setup.
He did. I'm like,
that was a setup.
I'm like, but it's cool though. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? You got rhymes. I'm like, yo, I ain't really got no rhymes right now for you. He like, he start going into some shit like, I just figured like, what are we even here on this earth for if we can't, we can't.
That was the setup.
Yeah.
That
so I'm like, you know what?
Give
me,
you to sleep.
I said, give me an hour. Cool. Give me an hour. I'm going to go come up with some, trust me, give me an hour. Now, mind you, I was already drinking. I was there for 5 hours. They seen me for 5 hours already. So then after the hour, they came back. I'm like, yo, tell them it's on. Like, let's do it. So it looked to all possibilities was about to happen, like right then and there, spur of the moment. And then 5 minutes later, they was like, yo, his management was like, no, he can't do it.
Yeah, of course.
A Harlem dude couldn't do that. You can't ask somebody for a fair one and back out. Mm-hmm. Can't do that. But again, they from two different places. But this reminds me now, I could tell you about a parallel example of how I could see the perspective. So when Nas had the Ether out, and I don't know what happened, but I was at Arizona shooting a Rockware campaign. And when I landed, I heard Super Ugly when I landed, and I was sick. And I was like, what the fuck happened? Because
You didn't advise that.
I did not say that was all right. So, me and Irv Gotti. So I called Irv. I'm like, Irv, why the fuck did you, he's talking about, all this kind of stuff that we don't do. And I wish I could have rewinded it to like, why y'all didn't call me so I could have told you not to do that. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So in the moment, an artist who's inspired is he's going to try to fight. But he must have had somebody there that Jay didn't have that day because that was the only elbow we really took. That was the beginning of the end, really, because we were unstoppable before that, but he messed up. But someone was there to tell Drake, like, you bugging. This ruined you today. You drinking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Someone older or smarter than him probably gave him the right advice, because I wouldn't advise it.
Would you have advised Jay to reply to Ether at all, or just leave it at Takeover and Ether?
At the time, I felt like we were winning, because we had done the Michael Jackson thing and we had called him out. So he was talking hearsay. Like, our thing, when I battle, when my crew, who I'm with, I like to tell the truth. I don't like to say who says the funniest punchlines. The bottom line is we professionals, so let's just say true things. So I thought, like, the stuff that Nas said was dope. But I think, like, he emotionally got at Jay because he was inviting him to his...
It was a little chatty patty.
So I was like, yo, you just got caught up in gossip. You don't have to answer gossip. If he says something real, like, Dame Dummy, I thought that was dope because he said my name.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone knows I'm not dumb. That's obvious. So I'm not going to reply to that. You know what I mean? I'm going to be happy he said it. So I thought, like, he should let it rock out. That's why he did it when I wasn't around.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I thought we had played it fair. And I don't care if other people think someone wins. All I care is if I think I won. Mm-hmm. And, I did it right and played the game. So I didn't think it was necessary. You know what I mean? But if he was going to do it, it wouldn't have been like, I wouldn't have chatty-patted it. So that's why we lost. You see, when you start f***ing with gossip, you end up doing things that aren't honorable and you end up apologizing on the radio the next day.
But so WWW, low side of the movie, don't forget. Make sure y'all pick that up.
Right.
You know what I mean? We losing focus with all this other bubblegum shit, but that's why we here. We want to promote it.
So
you know what I mean?
Tell about the movie one more time.
I mean, the movie is, it's basically right now we still in progress and it's a lot going on in the movie, but it's, it's about my man Murder Mook, he's from Harlem. He catch a body, you know what I mean? Police looking for him. He can't hustle in Harlem no more. So he have to come down to the Lower East Side. Come down to the Lower East Side, you got a lot of guys. You know, everywhere you got guys.
It's not much of a getaway, boroughs. Though.
It really is though. Like
in Harlem,
you know, like,
yeah. So the Lower East Side guys, they don't want to see him down there, and he have to fight to get, you know, to get his proper perspective on the Lower East Side and his position. So everybody is like, you know, that's like I come to the block I'm not from. You know what I mean? And everybody like, yo, we don't want this kid down here. We're going to make sure we, you know, do whatever we got to do to get him out of here. Mm-hmm. And in the game of hustling, you know what that means. They're going to try to shoot you, rob you, kill you. You know, it's just what it was. So, you know, Mook, he stood tall in the joint like a Harlem dude, you know, like a Brooklyn dude or like a Queens dude. Like an honorable, and that's another like thing. All right. That dividing up the boroughs and all that shit's over with. It ain't, like my man said a long time ago, it ain't where you from, it's where you at. You know what I mean?
And when's your movie come out? When the movie come out?
I mean, you know, Rakim said that a long time ago. So.
When does the movie come out?
The movie's out.
You can buy it in segments, right?
Well, the way I'm putting it out to the rest of the world is in segments, but you could buy it in its entirety in segments right now. So I wanted to have that feeling, but then I'm going to put it out in another variation in the whole movie theatrically. So basically my thing is to have a direct-to-consumer relationship, you know, cut the middleman out completely, and have at least have my money made back before I put it out the regular way, before I start, you know, giving up my margin for traffic. But I will put it out. It will be on iTunes. It will be in theaters. It will be on demand. It will do all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. But first, the people that I know direct can get it directly from me at losidasthemovie.com.
Spell it for them.
L-O...
I said it.
L-O-I-S-A-I-D-A-S. Yeah.
The
movie.com.
When are you writing a book, Dave?
I'm writing it. I also have a book. You know, I have a book called Culture Vultures.
What's it called?
It's called Culture Vultures. I did. Have you ever looked at the Hip Hop Motivations that I do?
Yeah, absolutely.
So me and Kenyana did a book, and it's already written. He wrote it. We done with it, and I'm also giving it out in different ways, so it's going to be an auditory experience as well. So right now, you can order it from poppingtongroup.com, which is like my Netflix, and you can order the first chapter of me saying it, you know, of like a record. And then you'll get the first five chapters as a record, and you also get it in the visual, like a movie, and you're also going to get it as a book. But you can get that right now, pre-order for $5 at poppingtongroup.com.
With Envy.
And then I'm going to hire Envy.
Dame wants to know.
I'm going to hire you.
Yo, hold on.
There's no way I'm not going
to. Dame wanted to know, Envy, that how much respect you have for him. Would you let him get the Jordans, or you want to keep them?
Are we the same size?
No, what happened was, your man's out there, he got the Jordans,
right.
And he was like, I got only 10s, and Envy got them, so if Envy don't want them, you can have them. I was like, oh, that's my man. I know Envy would pay me the proper respect and let me buy them.
I don't know, maybe before the interview. Yeah.
I knew he would even buy him. I'm not nice lying.
You're his boss, so I'm sure you're
Not yet. I wouldn't want to be your boss. I'd rather be your partner. And I would rather, like, do a book, do a movie, do a doc. You know, I would throw down, if you want, on a radio show to syndicate that has a new name. Why don't we just, you know,
you was Clue's boss, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like I said,
Charlamagne, stop it.
Clue used to be signed to Rockefeller, but he had his own career as a DJ. So I wasn't his boss for DJing, but I did cut the check and as representing Rockefeller for the records that we made. You know,
you think you could do for another DJ what you did to Clue? Because Clue was like, he went platinum.
I can make anybody famous. That's easy. That's easy. You know, because I only deal with honest people that do, you know, I just know authenticness, and people buy that, and I give it a platform. You know what I mean? But like I was saying, if y'all want to do something other than what's the name of what you own? My show?
No, it's the Breakfast Club.
You don't own the Breakfast Club.
No, we don't. There's no name. There's
all right,
no
name. So you own the no name. So can we have a name, and we could do something together? And I'm down. I'll do a movie with y'all. I'll do something with you. You know, and I was just thinking, like, Revolt, if Puff owns Revolt, he's from Harlem, that's my channel. So I should do what I want.
Now, okay, maybe I'm being chatty, but I just saw the
You're not being chatty because you asked me a question.
Yeah, you said that Diddy wouldn't clear.
First of all, I don't call him Diddy. So
I don't know. whatever. He wouldn't clear Big to be in the Brooklyn's Finest video.
Yeah, Puff would not clear. Yeah, he wouldn't clear it.
So why could you do business with him if he? Because that don't.
I didn't say do business. I said I want to use this network.
That's what I'm saying. Okay.
Right.
You gotta listen, Chatty Patty.
www.lowsideofthemovie.com.
This is the longest interview we've ever done on.
But I'm Chatty Patty. You're asking me questions.
But hopefully it was informative, though.
You don't even feel the time.
No, I was trying to, but you know, you was asking about some.
You like such and such said such and such, so such and such said such and such.
That's what I'm talking about with him. See, now he got y'all talking about doing your own thing. That's what it's about, though. You feel me? Empowering each other, even through controversial conversations.
But it's not. It's just a difference of perspective. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's all. Like, exactly.
Men can have conversations. Absolutely. They ain't got to fight over that. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't disrespect. That's why once it was like, oh, you stupid. I was like, but I might have said it. So I was like, my bad. And if I did, that's not what I do. But
and you offered cookies after that.
His cookies. I know I'm going to come young. I'm like, his cookies. Everybody just get that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's a little early for cookies, but I've been munching on them joints.
We've been
crazy.
We're good.
And, yeah. And you know, also, you know, and the respect that I'm always have for y'all is that y'all been in the game so long. So there's always a brothership we're going to have just because I knew you 20 years ago. Regardless of whether we was on the same team, we on the same team because we in hip-hop. And my thing is love. It's not about knocking motherfuckers down. It's about helping them get up. So I'm going to tell you your faults, which usually makes people mad. But then I'm going to say, but I'm not only going to tell you, but I'm going to help you get without. Like, you can have this life. And it's cool. But let's do something different. Are you allowed to do other things?
Absolutely.
All right, so.
But we are, though. It's not like we're limiting.
What I'm saying is this. I'm not going to just talk. And I'm saying, look, I'll do something with y'all. What y'all want to do? Y'all want to work with me or y'all scared? Let's do a deal right now.
Let's do it. I'm not scared.
What you want to do? Sure.
I don't know, Dame. I feel like anything we do won't be good enough for you.
Shatty Patty, I'm not asking. What you want to do? Yo, what y'all want to do? Let's do it. You want
to
do something?
We'd like to do an animated series.
Bet. Let's do it.
When the hell did you come up with that idea?
Yeah, that's a good one, though. That's a good idea.
Oh, hey, if it's
been thinking about that.
Made up.
The name of it. We're going to have a name.
I can't do that because that's a verbal contract. You're not holding me to that? I don't know. Let's talk about it.
It's the Breakfast Club.
He bumped his head somewhere. I don't know.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.